your Bibles to Judges chapter number 14. Judges 14 tonight. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 9. If you'll join me in reading out loud verses, the even-numbered verses, so verse 6 and 8. But we'll look at Judges chapter number 14 tonight. Stand with me, please. And beginning with verse number 5 of Judges 14. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's pray. Lord, again we come to you tonight, Lord, what a great time tomorrow will be to think of all those that gave their lives for our freedom here in this country. But Lord, how great it is to think about how you came and you gave your life so that we might live eternally with you someday in heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord, that would not get old to us, but Lord, that you please be with us tonight during the message, that you please help us to evaluate our lives, see if there's anything that we need to add, anything that we need to work on. And I pray, Lord, that you please speak to us, please. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Should bow beautifully done. Beautiful song. I haven't heard that in a long time, and that's a good old song. Thank you for singing that tonight. I want to speak on this subject for a little bit tonight. Don't touch the honey in the carcass. Don't touch the honey in the carcass. You'll see there in verse number 8 that Samson found a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass. And then in verse 9, he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. So let me talk to you tonight about don't touch the honey in the carcass. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great song. Thank you for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, he humbled himself so much when he came to this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. And now, God, you have exalted him and set at the right hand of your throne and given him a name that's above every name. And someday, Lord, every knee will bow and tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord. Boy, that's a great song. Thank you for that. Help me tonight to be a blessing to the church. Help us to listen and concentrate. And Lord, take home something from the Scripture that would help us live for you. I pray it in Jesus' name. And amen. Superheroes always have had one common denominator. Now, there are a lot of different superheroes, but they got one common denominator. They were capable of tremendous feats of strength. That's what made them superheroes. Their incredible strength. And you know, many of those superheroes from the past were just common people from ordinary walks of life who were amazingly transformed with this unbelievable, into this unbelievable hero, again, always possessing great strength. I mean, look at Popeye. Remember Popeye, the sailor man? He's a skinny old dude, you know, until he got the spinach. And then when he got the spinach, he became this strong man, these unbelievable feats of strength. Superman goes into the telephone booth and comes out with the S on his chest. He's faster than a speeding bullet, can leap tall buildings in a single bound. He's strong. I think that was Superman, wasn't it? I think it was, yeah, okay. And Batman and the POW and the Biff and the Boof and all that stuff and the Batmobile. These guys were common, ordinary men from ordinary walks of life. And all of a sudden, they were transformed into these strong, strong men. But all of these fictional make-believe characters, before all of these fictional make-believe characters, there was a real person named Samson, found in the Scripture. And you know the story, how God gave Manoah and his wife this son, and he was dedicated as a Nazarite to the Lord from his birth, which placed certain stipulations upon him, things that he could not do to maintain the vow of the Nazarite. And God's Spirit came upon the young man. And when God's Spirit came upon him, he was capable of incredible feats of strength, amazing things. I don't believe that he looked like the Incredible Hulk. I believe he looked like I don't think he walked around flexing his arms like you saw the guy in the video tonight. I don't think he walked around doing that. I think he was a normal, run-of-the-mill adult young man. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was able to do amazing things. Like he did in verses 5 and 6 that we read with Brother Mick just a moment ago. He was on his journey to Timnath. A young lion came against him, not an old lion, but a young lion full of zeal, full of strength and energy. A young lion comes upon him, and the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and when he did, he took the lion in his bare hands. He didn't have a weapon in his hands. Took the lion and ripped that lion apart like it was a goat, like it was a baby goat. That's pretty strong. I mean, just ripped him in twain, probably. No weapon in his hand, the Bible says. He did that because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I would call that pretty strong, just to rip apart that young lion with his hands. A few days later, he passes by the place where he killed the lion, and the carcass is still there, and a swarm of bees has built a honeycomb in the carcass. And so Samson stops. And he takes his hand and he dips it into the honey and he eats some. And then he goes off to see his parents. Now, I want to make a couple of observations about this story and make some application for you and me to hopefully help us learn a lesson or two that might help us better live for the Lord. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, my first point would be the very title of the message, Don't Touch the Honey in the Carcass. Folks, did you notice the Bible says in verse number 8 and 9 that there was sweetness, there was honey in the carcass. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a little bit tonight. Put your thinking hat on. You have a carcass. A carcass speaks of death. When you refer to a carcass, you're not referring to the cow out in the field that has life. You don't pass by a pasture and say, look at those carcasses. You don't pass by the where the sheep are in the pen and talk about, look at those carcasses. No, you use the word carcass when you're talking about a dead animal. So here is a carcass. Samson killed the animal with his bare hands. You have death with this carcass. So we have death. But we have more than death here. Along with that, we have sin. And isn't that, folks, how it goes? When you think of death, you think of sin, because sin and death are so closely related. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:21, sin hath reigned unto death. Romans 6:16 talks about sin unto death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans 7:13, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me. Romans 8:2 talks about the law of sin and death. James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You've got a carcass here. That speaks of death. But you have more than a carcass here. More than death here, you have sin. It was wrong for Samson to touch that dead carcass. It was a sin. It was a violation of the vow of the Nazarite that was upon him. It was sinful for a Nazarite to touch any dead animal. So you've got death here, and then you've got sin. But this is what I really want you to see tonight. There's something more here than death and sin. There's honey. There's sweetness. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? You got a picture of death. You got a picture of sin, and at the same time, you've got sweetness. Now, I believe the truth of the matter is that had there just been the dead carcass of the lion, I doubt Samson would have even stopped to look at it, much less touch it. But the honey attracted him. The sweetness got his attention. So because there was sweetness in the carcass, Samson stopped, looked upon it, touched it, took of it, and ate of it. And you know, folks, I know that God is a very gracious God, and God is very open, and God is very honest, and God is very forthright in His Word about sin. He's very open and honest and forthright in telling us that there is some sweetness in sin. There is some pleasure in sin. There is some measure of enjoyment in sin. There's some measure of thrill in sin. The Bible even talks about the fact that Moses chose right rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Oh, listen, hey, there is some sweetness, there is some pleasure, there is some enjoyment, there is some thrill in sin. But now, wait a minute, ultimately, it's in the carcass. Ultimately, it's surrounded by death. Ultimately, the sweetness was in the carcass, which was a picture of death. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And I want to say it doesn't take long for that to happen. From enjoyment to pain is a short time. From pleasure to misery is a short trip. From happiness to sadness is a short ride. From thrill to woe is that quick. And God is very honest about both. God is very honest about the fact that sin has a measure of pleasure in it. Sin has a measure of thrill. Sin has a measure of sweetness. But ultimately, that measure is very short. That time is very, very brief. And ultimately, sin will be absorbed by death. And I want to say tonight that the end result is 1 million times worse than the thrill is good. Don't touch the honey in the carcass. Listen very carefully. Don't eat from the carcass of gambling. I preach a message similar to this, maybe along these same lines, at the beginning of every summer season when school is out, because, you know, a lot of times summer people have the attitude that we just kind of throw all of the precautions to the wind. And we just kind of let life roll. And kind of just enjoy things that we wouldn't ever think about doing the rest of the year. Don't eat from the carcass of gambling. Do you know that there's a little bit of honey in gambling? I mean, you go and you pull the thing and the lever and you buy the lottery ticket or you go to the casino and you roll the dice a little bit and all of a sudden you start making a little bit of money. Do you know who doesn't like to make money? And there's a little bit of sweetness in that. There's a little bit of sweetness in gambling. But I want you to remember tonight, church, that gambling is in the carcass. Gambling is in the carcass. Don't eat from the carcass of pornography. I'll be real honest with all the men and boys in this room tonight. There's a measure of sweetness in pornography. That's how God made a man. You can't change that. You can't change how God made man. God made man to be moved by what he sees. And there's a measure of sweetness, there's a measure of honey in pornography, but I want to serve notice on you tonight that pornography is in the carcass. And when you dip the tip of your finger or hand in the honey that's in the carcass of pornography, friend, you're headed for some big, big, big trouble. I'll say all to you boys who are age 10, 11, and 12, and 13, and your body is changing, and you're becoming an adolescent young man, and things begin to happen to you that haven't happened through all the time that you've been alive. You need to run talk to your dad. And your dads need to stay close to your sons. I know it's awkward to talk to sons about things like that, but you've got to do it. You got to sit down with your 10-year-old. You got to sit down with your 11-year-old. You got to sit down with your 12-year-old. You don't have to drop the whole ball of wax on them when they're that young, but you better begin to explain to them. What do you want? Somebody else to do it? You want one of the kids in the neighborhood to do it? You better begin to explain to them about what's going on. They don't always understand. And difficult things can begin to happen in a young man's life that are not healthy and not good for him. And you know, boy, young boys can be introduced to things that they should not see and not should not be a part of. And it's not just young boys. It's men in any age or walk of life. You have to remember, fellas, that there might be a little bit of sweetness in the pornography, but the pornography is in the carcass. It's in the carcass. Don't eat from the carcass of sneaking around with another man or another woman. When you said, I do to your wife, you said, I don't to every other female. And vice versa, ladies, when you said, I do to your husband, don't eat from the carcass of sneaking around with another man or woman. Don't eat from the carcass of alcohol. Sure, there's a little bit of honey in the alcohol. There's a little bit of sweetness in the alcohol. You can get yourself a little bit of a buzz. Get yourself a little bit of a feeling of invincibility. Go ahead. Jump in. There's sweetness in the alcohol. But brother, you better be careful. That alcohol is in the carcass. And when it's done with you, it will bring forth death if you're not careful. Don't eat from the carcass of alcohol. Don't eat from the carcass of smoking cigarettes, tobacco, or pot. There might be a little honey in that, but don't eat from that carcass. Don't eat from the carcass of lying. And I could go on and on and on. Look, you get a thrill. You will get some excitement. There will be a measure of pleasure, but it will never be worth the devastation. Because those things are in the carcass. They're part of the carcass. You know, like, How many tears have been shed? That's a part of it you don't see. Unless it's your husband, or unless it's your wife, or unless it's your child. You don't see the tears. I see the tears. It's not fun. It's not fun to see a young person broken and sobbing and weeping who just hours or a couple of days or maybe 7 days ago ate from the honey that was in the carcass, had a little bit of a thrill, a little bit of excitement, but now they realize, oh my goodness, that honey was in the carcass. That honey was in the carcass. How many tears, how many gallons, how many buckets, how many barrels, how many rivers, how many oceans of tears have been shed from people who touched the honey in the carcass? How many? Satan's real good with that. Satan's real good to show you one side and one side only. There's a side of that that Satan will never show you. There's a side of it that he will always show you. He'll always show you the honey. He'll always expose the sweetness. He'll always show to you the pleasure, but he won't show you the other side. Our God is gracious and he's honest about it, and God will show you both sides, and God is honest in his word to tell us that there is a measure of pleasure and fun and thrill and excitement in sin. God didn't hide that. God didn't cover that up. But he also showed the other side. It's in the carcass, so don't be fooled. Don't eat any honey out of the carcass. I've got more stories and illustrations that I can even use tonight. Some I couldn't use from this pulpit because it would be too embarrassing. Some I could use from my time in Iowa, where young people, even adults, older in life, ate from the honey that was in the carcass and ended up paying a terrible, terrible price because Satan only shows you the honey. God shows you both. He says, look, there is some sweetness in it, but don't forget, it's enrobed. It's absorbed in the carcass. There's death there. So the best thing in life is not to touch the sweetness that's in the carcass. Don't touch the sweetness in the carcass. But I want to say number two tonight, listen very carefully to this. If you do touch the sweetness in the carcass, don't cover up after the fact. Don't cover up after the fact. Look at verse number 9. He eats the honey out of the carcass. And in verse number 9, the Bible says that he went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You know what's sad, folks? We are only left to speculate about how different things would have been for Samson had he talked to somebody who could have helped him after he broke the vow of the Nazarite. We have no idea what would have happened. You know, I would like to think, speculation, I would like to think that his dad and mom, who understood the vow, the stipulations of the vow, I would like to think that they would have been a source of strength and encouragement for him if Samson had only been up front and honest. Now, he gave them a taste of the honey. And you know what I believe is implied there in verse number 9? You know, he gave them the honey and they did eat. And then the Bible says, but he told not them that he had taken the honey. You know what I believe is implied there? I believe it's implied that they asked. Where'd you get this? Where'd this come from? This is good. This tasty honey. But he didn't tell them that he got it from the carcass of a dead animal. He kept it from his dad and mom. He kept it from those who could have helped them. He kept it from those who could have helped him overcome it. Folks, listen, there are some things that you can get into in the realm of sin, and you can get out of those things fairly easy. But there are some things that when you get into them, you cannot get out of them easily. Have you ever listened to that? There are some things that you can get in the way of sin, and you can get out of it very easily. But there are some things that you get into when it comes to sin, and you cannot get out of those things easily. I want you to remember that this honey was in the carcass of a lion. The devil in our Bible is portrayed as a roaring lion. This honey was in the devil's stronghold. There are some sins that are just in the devil's stronghold. And once you taste the sweetness of that kind of sin, you're going to have a hard time overcoming it alone. Alone. What do you mean, Pastor? Rock music? Rock music's going to be a hard thing for some of you to kick by yourself. Have you tasted that honey out of the carcass? Have you tasted that, and boy, God convicted you and you thought, my goodness, I shouldn't be listening to this, but boy, it's just hard to get out of it. Rock music is a devil's stronghold. Immorality, and I believe when I mean immorality, I mean pornography and adultery is the devil's stronghold. Drugs is the devil's stronghold. I'll give you another one. Bitterness is the devil's stronghold. You know, I got to thinking about those four things this afternoon. Why would rock music and immorality and drugs and bitterness be such strongholds of Satan? You know, think about this, folks. I think rock music is a stronghold of Satan because it's so opposite God, who is not the author of confusion. You know that rock music is nothing but confusion? It's confusion of chords and confusion of beats. The music is not musically correct with the syncopation and the offbeat and all the backbeat and everything. The rock music itself it's a mess. It is confusion, and our God is not the author of confusion. And when you get involved in something like rock music, you're dipping into the devil's stronghold. You're going to have a hard time kicking that on your own. I think about immorality, pornography, and adultery being such a devil's stronghold because of how pure God is. God is holy. He's pure. And immorality is so impure. It's a devil's stronghold. Pornography is such a devil's stronghold. Drugs leads to chaos. God is a God of order and discipline, and drugs is just kind of a chaotic and disciplineless way to live. It's the devil's stronghold. And I think bitterness is one of the devil's strongholds because God is such a God of forgiveness. So, as they sang, the choir did a little while ago, the mercy of God. God is such a God of forgiveness and mercy. And when you get into bitterness, you're usually in the arena of not forgiving somebody. And I want to tell you something, that is a stronghold of Satan. And if you have dipped your fingers or hands in the honey of immorality or pornography or rock music or bitterness or drugs, you're not going to kick that without some help. Without some help. That's my experience. You have to come clean to someone. You have to come clean to a face. You have to have someone through whom you can be accountable, a person. And I can testify that people who submit to full accountability after tasting honey out of the carcass are able to overcome it. But people who don't overcome it. I'm trying to help you tonight. I don't particularly like to be the one accountable. Let me remind you of this tonight. I had this thought this week. Let me give you Revelation 12:11. Now listen to this verse. And they overcame him, Satan, talking about the tribulation saints. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You know how you overcome sin? Confession to God. And the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and you're forgiven. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But it wasn't just confession to God. It was also the word of their testimony. Now, Brother Angel, how do you apply that to this? Okay. Somebody dips their hand in the honey, in the carcass, the honey of pornography or the honey of adultery or the honey of drugs or the honey of bitterness or the honey of rock music. They taste of that. That's in the carcass. There's some sweetness there, but it's absorbed in the carcass. It's full of death. It will eventually lead to your destruction. And so you get serious about it and you say, you know what, I got to get some help. And you confess it to God, and God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But now wait a minute. You go to somebody and you look into somebody's face, and they're able to look into your eyeballs and say to you, how are you doing? How's it gone this week? Are you struggling? Have you had a good week? Are you having a hard time? And you're accountable. And the word of your testimony, I've had a good week. I haven't been overcome by anything. I've gotten free from that. I haven't listened to that music. I haven't been involved in that online website. I haven't participated in that. I don't have any grudge in my heart tonight. You can give a testimony as to what God is doing in your life. And people, I'm going to tell you something. When you have tasted of honey that is in the carcass, you're going to have a hard time getting over it without some measure of accountability to somebody. Some measure. And parents, hopefully you as moms and dads, we can be that measure of accountability to our kids if they taste the honey that's in the carcass. Now, obviously the best thing to do is not to taste the honey that's in the carcass. But if you do, you need to go to your dad and mom. I'm not even going to go very far into this tonight because I don't want to draw undue attention to anybody in this room. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people sitting in this room tonight who have gotten victory over honey that was in the carcass because they came clean. Not just with God, but with some accountability figure. And you know what, parents? Sometimes it requires more than mom and dad. Sometimes it requires more than mom and dad. Sometimes you have to get some help. Sometimes you have to go to somebody and sit down. You know, you say, what do you want us to come to you? You know what? There are times that people come to me, and there are times when I send people to see other folks. Go talk to brother so-and-so. Meet with brother so-and-so. I had a man text me this week. He said, I'm not doing well. I need some accountability. I've had a rough stretch. Done some things I shouldn't have done. I need some help. I need to be held accountable. You know what that kind of attitude is? The attitude of victory. When you conceal it, when you cover up, you're going to continue to struggle. You've got to come clean. Samson took the honey that was in the carcass. Sure, there was a measure of sweetness in it, but it was in the carcass. It ultimately leads to death. And he could have sat down with his dad and mom. Where'd you get the honey? You know, I made a bad mistake, Dad. I got the honey out of the carcass of a lion. And they could have helped him. Son, you broke the vow of the Nazarite. Let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. Let's get this taken care of. People who don't come clean and yield to accountability have a difficult time overcoming when they've tasted honey that's in the carcass. If you've tasted honey that's in the carcass, put yourself accountable to somebody. That'll help you. So number one, don't eat the honey that's in the carcass. Number two, if you do, don't cover up after the fact. Let me say this about covering up, a couple of things and I'll be done. I want you to see where cover up led to the feeling of invincibility. Look down at verse number 12. Look at the Bible says here, and Samson, he's not come clean with his dad and mom. Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle. Put forth a what? A riddle? If ye can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast, we'll find out, give you 30 sheets, 30 change of garments, declare it me, verse 13. And then he said in verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He started joking about eating the honey out of the carcass. Making a joke about it. And you know what? When you eat honey out of the carcass and quote unquote successfully cover it up to those who should and could help you, you know what happens? A feeling of invincibility begins to overcome you. Hey, I didn't get caught. I'm okay. I can handle this. He started joking about it. Making jokes about taking the honey out of the carcass and joking around with these 30 companions. And you know what the truth of the matter is? It only led to greater sorrow and greater misery and greater hardness of life. And you know what happens? You get this feeling of invincibility when you don't come clean. And then the feeling of invincibility eventually leads to your demise. Two chapters later, in chapter 16, Samson is doing the same thing over again. Now he's with Delilah. And now he's joking about things and joking about the strength of how the Lord's power comes on him and the hair and joking. And she's crying and weeping, and you got to tell me you don't love me if you don't tell me. And finally he gives her the secret there, and she cuts his hair, and here they come and they take him and they gouge out his eyes. This is what happens when we come under the false feeling of invincibility. We have successfully covered up the honey that we ate out of the carcass. Ah, nobody's going to find out. I mastered this thing. It's not going to bother me. And before you know it, friend, that feeling of invincibility will lead to your utter demise. That's exactly what happened to Samson. Your utter demise. So I'm saying tonight, don't eat the honey out of the carcass. God is so honest and God is so open and God is so forthright about sin. And He tells us there's a measure of sweetness in sin, a measure of pleasure, a measure of thrill. But you've got to remember that sin is absorbed in the carcass. It will lead to your destruction. Don't touch the honey that's in the carcass. And if you do, get to somebody who can help you. Somebody to whom you can be accountable. Somebody to whom you can sit down with and they can lead you to overcome that thing. And if you don't do that, friend, you're going to be susceptible to a feeling of invincibility. And invincibility will eventually lead to your demise. Isn't that how, isn't that what happened to Samson? He just joked and joked and joked until he woke up one time and the Spirit of God was gone. And he was like any other man. Now, the best thing in the world to do is not touch the honey that's in the carcass. But if you do, you get to somebody who can help you overcome it. Don't cover it up. Don't fall under the aura of invincibility and see your life ruined like Samson. Invincibility. Don't touch the honey that's in the carcass. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Scripture. And I thank you for your forthrightness and your honesty and your openness. And Lord, you're not one to pull the wool over our eyes about things. You make it very clear that there's a measure of sweetness in sin. There's a measure of pleasure in sin. There's a little bit of thrill in it. But Lord, ultimately, it's in the carcass. And Father, I pray for our church folk. I pray that you'll please keep us from the honey that's in the carcass. And then, Lord, if there's anybody here in our midst tonight, young person or old, who has tasted of the honey in the carcass in one of these devil's strongholds and is having difficulty, God, overcoming it in their life, God, help there to be humbling and confession to you, but also accountability to somebody else. Lord, keep us from the aura of invincibility that will utterly cause our demise someday. Sin is such a wicked, strong, and powerful thing. No one is beyond its power. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church or how you've been reared. It takes down anybody. God, keep us from it. I pray for us this summer, Lord. I pray for our young people this summer that we would be sensible and, Lord, have a schedule and not do stupid and crazy things that will cause us, Lord, great harm and destruction. Protect our folks. Protect our church. Keep us from the honey that's in the carcass, I pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if the Spirit of God spoke to you about the honey in the carcass. God was pretty open and pretty forthright and pretty honest about the fact that there's a measure of sweetness in sin, but ultimately it leads to death. It's in the carcass. That sweetness is so short-lived. Don't eat the honey that's in the carcass. If you have, sit down with your dad and mom, young person. Maybe you're a young adult man or young adult lady. Maybe you need to sit down with me or sit down with another church leader, somebody that you admire and respect who can help you overcome that thing, especially if it's one of the devil's strongholds. I wonder tonight if at some point throughout the message the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, this little thought about don't eat the honey that's in the carcass. And you're not, by raising your hand, you're not admitting any guilt to any of that. You're just saying that God spoke to my heart tonight. In one way, shape, or form, God dealt with me about something that was preached in the message tonight. Pastor, include me in your closing prayer before the invitation. Would you slip your hand up tonight wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Amen, amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Heavenly Father, my desire is to help folks. Our desire, Lord, is to see the church stay out of that kind of problem and mess. Lord, keep people from crying buckets of tears and regret and sorrow that the devil springs on folks. So, Lord, help us, please. I pray that you'd help us to avoid the honey that's in the carcass. Satan is such a deceiver and a liar. Has only shown us one side of it. But, God, you've been careful to show us both sides. So keep us tonight, Lord, from that honey. And if we've tasted it, help us to get some help from somebody. Move on our heart tonight. Thank you for those that lifted a hand and speak to our hearts in this way, this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved or baptized. Whatever, if the Lord spoke to your heart, I hope that you'll use the altar tonight. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Don't eat the honey that's in the carcass. Don't do that. There might be a little sweetness, pleasure, and enjoyment and thrill and sin, but it's so temporary. It's so passing. It may be that you need to go to somebody. It may be that you need to sit down with a Brother Mick or maybe your Sunday school teacher or myself. I'm involved in something I can't get victory over. They overcame him by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.